I invite you on a journey in the Gospel of John, the book of John, the 6th chapter, and let's look at the 35th verse of the 6th chapter. As we unpack what we just sung about, words to live by when you are living day to day, to be mindful of the God that we serve, that Jesus Christ, there is none beside him. There is none like him. Oh, I could stay right there all day. He is. Thank you all so much. He is the great I am. John, the 6th chapter and the 35th verse. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. I want you to hear it again. Listen to the words of our Savior. I am the bread of life, he says. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Have you, can I ask you a personal question? No one's shaking their head. I'm getting concerned already. I'm going to ask you anyway because I have the microphone. And so can I ask you a personal question? Have you ever been hungry before? No, I mean really hungry before, famished. Have you ever been there where you're so hungry, you've been working all day, been plowing all night, and you walk in the house and you're looking for something to eat? Have you ever been there? Hungry like an entrepreneur looking for a big break. Have you ever been hungry before in need of something specific to satisfy that need? Have you ever, like a preacher, woke up in the middle of the night just to get a piece of banana pudding? You know, hungry, really hungry before. But even as we push this a little more in a spiritual vein, have you ever been hungry to live freely? Have you ever been hungry for peace and for sufficiency? Have you ever been hungry to be truly satisfied? Have you ever hungered forgiveness? Have you ever hungered a life where burdens are lifted? Have you ever hungered for joy? Well, have you? I asked about 12 questions. I'm looking for some answers. Have you? Have you hungered before? Have you ever had a God-sized hunger? Because if you don't get anything in the message, I want to make sure you get this down. That only God can fill a God-sized hunger. Only God is able to do what we need to be done, because everyone hungers and everyone thirsts, and only God is able to quench the thirst and to fill the hunger. God is not an option. God is a necessity, and all of us need God. Let me say it a little calmer. Maybe you'll get it the second time around. All of us need God. Creation yearns for the touch of the Creator on the heart, on our hearts. We need God. And only God can feel the need. Only God can feel the need. See, the context of the passage we just read in the 6th chapter of John really begins with Jesus addressing the physical need of a congregation. If you journey through this pericope long enough, you'll see how they were in a desolate place. They being those who were pursuing Christ, seeking him, they were in a desolate place. And when Jesus looks up, he sees them in the beginning portions of that 6th chapter as a people in need. And so he asks the question, if you allow me to help you understand as we unpack this text, he asks the question to one of his disciples, we need to get them some bread. Disciples respond and said, a day's wages, our living wages, two denarii, will not be enough to feed this multitude, because the number was about 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And there was a little lad who came with a lunch, undoubtedly his mom had prepared. Lunch enough for a little lad, two fish and 5 loaves of bread. You know the story, don't you? But just in case you don't, let me tell you how it worked out. That Jesus took it, gave thanks, and after he gave thanks, he distributed it to all those who were there, and everyone had their fill, and there were 12 baskets of fragments left. You know why? Let me put a plug in right here, Hank, just for everybody who needs to know this. Jesus' little becomes much when you place it in the master's hands. I like that, that no matter what you have, if you give it in his hands, he can do more with the little than we can do with a lot. Because we've been trying to feel the hunger, and some of us have been trying to quench the thirst with a lot of things, but only to realize that we get hungry again and thirsty again. And hear me, brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about a physical hunger and a physical thirst. I'm talking about something that is deeper, more deep-seated, and that's that spiritual yearning and need for something that's greater than ourselves. We need God. And on the backdrop of feeding the 5,000, can you see Jesus? They're coming to him the next day, seeking for him to meet this physical need. And Jesus uses it as a teachable moment. It's Passover time. He uses it as a teachable moment to let them know that what they were really seeking, what they really needed, wasn't necessarily the substance of bread, but they needed a substance of spiritual life. And that's Jesus. Can you hear him? He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the bread of life. Jesus takes what is known as an earthly desire, and he ties it with divine intention. In other words, he ties a divine intention with an earthly operation to help those who are listening to know that he is the eternal liberation, that all of us who call on the name of Jesus can be saved. Why? Because only God can fill that God-sized need, and Jesus is God. Oh, the writer John, he unpacks that even in the beginning chapters of his work, where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Get this here. Jesus, God, is the only one who is able and available to meet the deepest needs. So how do you feel the God-sized need? You choose Jesus Christ. He says, I am. That's his divinity. He says, I am the bread of life. That's the necessity that we need. He said, whoever calls upon me will never hunger, will never thirst. That's the sufficiency that's found in him. Did you get it? That Jesus Christ not only is all we need, can provide all we need, but Jesus fills the need. Whatever the space is, he fills the need. And it's important that you choose Jesus to satisfy the need. You choose him because only God can fill a... Oh, you all are paying attention. Let me try this again. Oh, only God can fill a God-sized need. So choose Jesus to fill the need. Listen, I'm looking at you and I'm mindful of when my wife, she reminds me all the time, because I believe everything is homiletical content. You know, when you were a preacher, everything is up for grabs. And so here we were. She had this new space to decorate. You got to get this, fellas. She had this new space to decorate. She was so excited. I don't think I saw her that excited in a long time. She walked into an empty room and her eyes just lit up with possibility. It just amazed me, Lorraine, as I looked at my baby and she was glowing with excitement, and then she made her way to places I didn't even know existed, like Hobby Lobby and all these other places where... And she comes home, and I hear, understand, in her mind, not articulating to me, but in her mind, she already had a few things on her list for me to do. Fellas, you ever been there before? And I remember I walked into what was an empty room only to find out that there were paintings and pictures that she had pulled out and stacked up against the wall. I walked in and I asked the wrong question. I said, baby, what's that for? She said, oh, the big painting. Hey, said, I want you to hang it in the middle of the wall. I said, okay, no problem. I'll do that. She said, no, but you haven't done it yet. I said, no, I'll do it, baby. I'll do it, because, fellas, I've learned that it's better to do it at night when she's asleep. So she's not in the back seat talking about, no, little to the left, little. I'm just telling, look, I'm gonna be transparent with you, I'm telling you how it is. And so here it was, fellas, I was working late in the night. I was working. And when I work, I do things my own way. Yes, I do. And she got up to inspect everything, Lorraine. She got to inspect Carolyn. She got to inspect everything. And she looked at the big picture on the wall. And she said, "Ooh, that is nice. That's beautiful. That's exactly where I wanted it." And I'm like, "Yeah." She said, "Baby, did you remember to put a molly in the wall?" I see one sister already said that. That's right. Yeah. She said, "Did you remember to put an anchor in the wall? Because that's sheetrock." I said, "Baby, look, it's up there, right?" Can I be honest with you? It's up there. Look good. It's going to be all right. And then I left the room still feeling good about myself, walked out, and I made the mistake of closing a door. Oh, you were there, huh? And before I was able to hear the screech of her voice, I heard the shatter of glass. Because I tried to hang something that was too big on something that was too small. Come here, I'm trying to get you somewhere. That only Jesus is able to satisfy the God-sized need, man's need to connect with his creator, man's need to be in relationship with God. Only Jesus Christ is able to satisfy that need. He says, "I am the bread of life." He's pulling, if you would, on the scene of the Passover. He says, "I'm the bread, the necessity for a spiritual life." And to those who were listening, they understood the gravity and the weight of what Jesus was proclaiming. Their minds raced back to the Old Testament, where God himself was delivering the people out of the hands of Egyptian captivity. They remembered in their minds how they were commissioned by Moses, their ancestors, were to sit at the table with unleavened bread, because God's deliverance is so quick that you don't have time to wait around for the yeast to rise the bread. So you don't need the yeast, because God moves just that quick. He says, they're mindful that Jesus is the unleavened bread. Come here, I'm trying to get you somewhere. That when you have Jesus Christ, Jesus doesn't take a week to deliver you. I feel like preaching. It don't take him all day to do what he has to do. He already did it on Calvary's cross. All you have to do is choose him, and you'll see how quick his deliverance will be for you. I am the bread of life. That's what he says. He says, "I'm the bread of life, and those who come to me shall not hunger." In other words, when you come to him, when you choose Jesus, when you align yourself with him, when you commit yourself to him, when you come to him, not visit him, but come to him. Not drive by Jesus, but really sit in his presence and dwell with him and walk with him, you'll find that Jesus is able to satisfy the hunger of your soul. He said, "I'm the bread of life. When you come to me, you will not hunger." When you come to me. Here, their minds are racing now, even on the backdrop of this very passage, because there they were, physically in a place of wandering, physically in a desolate place, physically in a desert place. And just the other day, per this timeline of this text, Jesus feeds them in a desolate place. And then he tells them, "I am the God who is able to deliver you even when you're in a desert place." I told you, somebody right now, you may be there trying to figure out, how will I squash this itch? How will I feel this hunger? And Jesus Christ stands today proclaiming, "I am the answer to your problem. I am the solution. I'm what you've been looking for. But you got to stop trying to pacify the need and come to me who satisfies the need, because Jesus meets the need." Oh, I feel it already. I told you, he meets the needs, all the needs that we have. Jesus Christ himself meets the need, and is not of a selective group. I'm still in the text. He said the who's who group that's invited to partake is the whoever. I grew up King James, so I'm going to say it this way. It's the whosoever. It's It's whoever, anybody and everybody are able to come before him and partake of him. Anybody and everybody were able to come, no matter where you grew up, whether or not you were wealthy or poor or you were just poor. That's when you can't afford the O and the R. You can come to him, and that's good news, because Jesus says whoever wants to come, the hetero, the homo, whoever wants to come, the rich, the poor, whoever wants to come, if you would surrender and align your life to Jesus Christ, he will satisfy your need. I am the bread of life. In fact, if we had time, I would, and if Abraham Maslow was here, I would tell Abraham Maslow to sit right there in that chair. There's an open chair right there. And I would look at Maslow eye to eye and tell Maslow, I remember when I studied the hierarchy of needs that you studied, Maslow, and I came here to tell you that the Jesus that I'm preaching to you about right now, he meets every need. Maslow, you said that we had, as human beings, had the need for physical assurance and ability. And I would tell Maslow, God, Jesus Christ feels that physical need. You don't believe me? Ask a woman who had a physical issue of blood for all years of her life, and she met with Jesus, and at the hem of his garment, he was able to meet all of her needs. I would tell Maslow that Jesus is able to fill the need, not only the physical need, but Maslow, you said that man needs safety and security, and I would tell him that Jesus is able to fill the need. I'd call on three Hebrew boys, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. I'm sorry, you might know him as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I would call them to let them know that Jesus meets the need, because when they were in a fiery furnace, Jesus took the fire out of the furnace because he meets, I feel it already, he meets the needs. I would tell Abraham Maslow, who said man has a need for longing and belonging, I would tell him that Jesus so well meets the need that when you buy yourself out of well, because you can't go at the well with everybody else, and people say you ought not connect with him, Jesus will stop by your well, come here, Samaritan woman, and he will meet your need. I would tell Abraham Maslow that not only would God meet the need of love and belonging, but even of self-actualization. I feel it already. Come here, lepers who are unclean and unfit, and they came before him, and one came back and said, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. And Jesus tells the leper, he says, you are healed. You are made whole. Why? Because you're no longer a leper. You're healed. Jesus meets the needs. So you choose Jesus to satisfy the need. Why? Because we all need God. If you're going to fill a God-sized need, thirdly, you trust Jesus to supply your needs. I hope you didn't close your Bible, because we're still in the text. Look at what Jesus says. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, whoever comes, aligns with me, shall not hunger. That need has been sufficiently satisfied. He says then, and whoever believes on me shall never thirst. Never thirst. Ongoing. Look at the careful language of the text. As Jesus is proclaiming to those who are hearing, he presents himself as a kind of bread that's able to even quench your thirst. Thirst being a longing, a desire, a wanting. He says, Jesus Christ says right here in the text, he says, I am the answer to what you are truly longing for. Everything else we try to pacify, Jesus says, but that always runs out. I remember, as a young child, I thought I needed a certain car. I'm not going to say anything about that car, because some of y'all might be driving that car right now. Brent, I thought I needed this car. I set my mind on it. I worked for it. I saved the money up for it. In fact, somebody told me I needed a job in order to get that car that I thought I needed. And so, I did. I felt good about it. Got that car. And then I got the car note. Realized I didn't really need what I thought I needed. Hear me well, it's a longing, it was a longing, it's a desire. Jesus says, I'm the answer to your longing. That which you desire most, I'm the answer to. And he says, you will never thirst. I like that. In other words, you never have to long for anything else. You know why? Because Jesus supplies all of our need. I borrow the wording from Paul when they were looking at Paul, how are you going to make it? And he said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. And Paul, as he was moving in his maturation with Christ, he got to a place of affliction, of a thorn that was given him to buffet him. He said, he went to God three times and looked at God meeting the need. God told him, my grace is sufficient for you. You know why? Because through his blood, Jesus meets the need. He meets the need at Calvary's cross. Somebody knows it. At the cross? At the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am. Somebody knows it. Now I am. I'm happy all the day. At the cross. At the cross. You know why? Because I heard it sung at communion. Because the blood of Jesus that was shed for me, it will never, ever lose its power. So when you have Jesus as your Savior, he is the answer to all of your longings because he supplies all of your needs. So choose God. Choose God because you need God. Choose Jesus Christ because he's able to meet the need. When you choose him, you trust in him. He said, whoever believes, trust in him, believes in the salvation work of Christ Jesus, believe in his work on the cross, that his blood was shed for the redemption of our sins. Believe that if any man's in Christ, he will be a new creation. Believe that you can do all things through Christ who will give you strength. He says he will then meet the need. And so when you learn to trust Jesus to supply your needs, because you choose Jesus to meet your need, you go on to live in need of Jesus. Work with me here. That you live your life dependently upon Jesus. That when you live life, you live your life desperate for Jesus. That when you wake up in the morning, you need Jesus. Before you go to work, not when you get there and say, Lord, help me with that coworker because they get on the other Christian nerve. You say, Lord, I need you now. That you live in need of Jesus. That's what we see in the text. Verse 40, Christ says, everyone who looks on the Son and believes, look at that, everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life and that he will raise him from the dead on the last day. That's security, y'all. In other words, Christ is telling us that we ought to have a daily intake of him, that we ought to have a fresh perspective of who he is and live our lives like we need him. How do you do it? Let me give you some points to send you home. How do you live your life like you need Jesus? Let your pursuits of Christ prevail over all things. In other words, no matter what's going on in life, make sure you seek Jesus. Let your place in Christ keep you in peace. Let your pursuit of Christ prevail over all, no matter what. I'm seeking Christ. I'm looking for him. I'm following him. And let your place in Christ, because he'll abide in you. Let your place in Christ keep you in peace. That no matter what is happening around you, you can still have peace because of who is within you. Let your place in him. Let your life with Christ be lived Christ-like this week. How do I allow God to fill the gaps I need? Let your life with Christ be lived Christ-like. And let your cravings be for Christ at all cost. See, the latter part of this passage, you have an interesting dialogue that is happening. Right around that 66th verse, it's the recorded record of the greatest church split in history. When Jesus tells those who are listening, he says, if you're going to follow me, you must feed on my body. must feed on my blood. Somebody said, that's a hard saying, Lord. And many turned away. But the disciples, he turned to them, Jesus did, and right around 66, and he says, will you leave as well? They said, oh, no, Lord. Mm-mm. Where are we going to go? You have the answer to eternal life. We're going to follow you at all cost. My brothers and sisters, live like you need Jesus. You see, I remember John, the Lord showed me that, Tim, just the other day. Because all those who weren't born with 20/20 vision, let me see you. I'm trying to see you because I wasn't born with it. Don't let the context fool you. And so every morning, I have something on my nightstand. Because before I step out of bed, I need it, Tim, in order to know where I'm stepping. You're not with me just yet here, huh? Some of us, we need our glasses. Because if we don't have our glasses, don't look at me like that. You know I'm telling the truth. You can't see clearly where you're going. To the point that when you wake up in the morning, you're looking for your glasses. And some veteran glasses wearers who haven't been to the doctor in a while, you'll be wearing your glasses looking for your glasses. But let's be real about it. We need our glasses, so we live our lives in need of it. We put them on so that we can see where we're going. Come here as we close this message, that we ought to live our lives like we need Jesus, that we follow him everywhere, listen to his word every day, because we've chosen him as the saving, sufficient sacrifice for our souls. So live your life in need of Jesus, because the only way to feel a God-sized hunger, the only way to feel a God-sized thirst, is to have God. And Jesus Christ is God. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.